Have you ever had the experience of reading scripture and you're reading scripture and you go, oh my gosh, that is so beautiful? Eddie, I'm just moving this over here. I might trip on it. And you read the scripture and you think, oh my gosh, that's so lovely. Have you ever had that experience? Maybe not with scripture, maybe a poem, maybe something else. I find myself sometimes when I read scripture, I am just overwhelmed with how beautiful it is. And that happened this week when I was reading the text from the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation was written by the Apostle John when he was in prison on an island called Patmos. He's in prison because he followed Jesus and he was trying to spread the word and people didn't like that. So they put him in prison on this island in Patmos. And while he's there locked away in a tower, they think, he received a vision, a revelation, if you will, from God. And it came to him and he was given this very long vision called the book of Revelation. Now, the thing about Revelation is it can be very confusing. There's been a lot of controversy about the book of Revelation. A lot of people don't know what it is, what does it mean. You should do a very long study on that if you would ever like to learn about it, because there's a lot in it. But it is in the book of Revelation that we get our picture of heaven. That's where the most common images of heaven come from, is the book of Revelation. And in reading it, I was reminded of how beautiful it is. And so I got a little teary-eyed, actually, when I was reading it. Let's look again at the very beginning of it, of Revelation 22. I would love for you, if you're game, close your eyes and trust the people around you. Just close your eyes online and in person. I'm going to read it out loud, and I want you to imagine it in your mind. Are you ready? Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb through the middle of the street of the city. On either side of the river is the tree of life with its 12 kinds of fruit, producing its fruit each month, and the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nation. You can open your eyes. Could you see it? Like there's this crystal river flowing from the throne of God through the middle of the city, not hiding around, not going where you can't see it, but smack through the middle of the city, this river flows. And on either side of this river is this tree, this beautiful, lush tree with leaves on it, and the leaves on the tree are for the healing of the nations. It's a place where brokenness is healed, where pain is no more, and where God's presence can be fully known. This was the vision that John received for the people of that time, but friends, I believe it is a vision that we get today. It's a vision for us today. It's not just from a long time ago. The river that flows, that's God's grace. It's alive, it's moving, it's ever flowing. It doesn't stay in one safe place. It keeps going. And as it flows, it nourishes and feeds. It bears fruit. And it offers healing for the nations. Now, let me explain the word nations, because when I say nations, you might think of the United States, or you might think of Israel, or you might think of Sweden. I don't know what you think of when I say nation. That's not what's happening right now. When John uses the word nations, which, of course, he's not even writing in English, so you understand the whole confusion of this, but the word nations here refers to people, all peoples. All the people in the world, all the people that look different from you, all the people that eat things differently than you eat, all the people that are like you, all the people you really like, and all the people you really don't like. Like all the people are a part of this vision that God has. The river flows for all of them, and the leaves of this tree are for the healing of the nations. For all people. All nations. This grace that God offers, this healing that God is putting in front of us, is for everyone. And I don't know about you, but I could use some healing. It's been difficult. The last months, we've lived in a difficult space. Just this last week, I know you, like me, you've watched Megan prayed about it, the river, the Guadalupe River. We used to live close to that, and it was a devastating flood. And now there are so many lives lost. There are parents that are grieving unspeakable grief. There are towns that are still looking for people. There is the loss of property. All of the things have changed, and there is such need of healing. I was flying recently, coming back into the country, and I talked to a couple people who are not from the United States, and they were anxious about whether they could get in. You see, they were immigrants to the United States, and they were worried about getting back in. And the fear was real. There is such a need for healing. I'm sure you, like I, have talked to friends, perhaps in your own family, who have lost their jobs. And they don't know what's happening next. And the future is uncertain. And there's a need for healing. I wished, when I was doing this message, I thought, gosh, I wish we could do this in a small group format, you know, where we could get together in groups and talk about it, because this is such a rich, rich text. But I realized we couldn't do that. But I'm going to ask a favor of you, if you would indulge me in this, if you're doing this online. I want you to find two other people, maybe three other people, and just for 2 minutes, which is going to feel like an eternity, for 2 minutes, I want you to answer this question. Where do you feel or see the need for healing? It could be in your life, it could be in the life of someone else, it could be in the nation's life. Like, don't say names or anything, but where do you see or feel the need for healing? I want you to find people, and online you can do it in the chat, and just talk to one another. Marianne is going to play the violin while we do this, so there'll be some music over it. I'm so grateful for that. And if you really don't, if you're like, I cannot talk to anybody, just close your eyes and think about it for 2 minutes. That's fine. Like, seriously, it's fine. I encourage you to talk to someone else, but answer this question. Where do you feel or see the need for healing? Go. All right. Actually, 2 minutes wasn't that long, was it? Marianne, thank you so much for that. That was really helpful. 2 minutes. 2 minutes wasn't that long. Actually, I could leave you for 15, but I'm not going to because I have more to say. So there you have it. I wonder if anybody is willing, you have to say it really loud. Where do you see or feel the need for healing? I can't hear it. Say it again. Everywhere. Well, that's good. Thank you so much. Yes. Family. In Texas. Thank you. Yes. One more over here.
I said nation.
Nations, yes. So I did this on Friday. I was getting ready for the message, and I went out into our office, and I'm like, hey, everybody, come here. And they all did. And I said, where do you see or feel the need for healing? And I want you to show you the list that they came up with. It's similar to yours. It's like this. I need healing. I see it in my marriage. To be more self-regulated. To help me remember I can't do everything. To help me remember to do something. Healing for my child, for the people of Texas, for the immigration mess, to not be overwhelmed, healing from my anger. Friends, there is a real need for healing. The world is aching. And I believe that John's vision does not just speak to those people, it speaks to us today. I believe that John is talking to Florist United Methodist Church and all the people that are a part of it. Look again at the scripture. On either side of the river is the tree of life, and the leaves of the tree are... Let's read that again. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. The healing. I think this is what God is calling us to do. We are those leaves. We are called to be the healing agents in God's world. The vision isn't just about heaven. It's about the here and now. This is what happens when you pray, when you say, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's not just for heaven. It's on earth as it is in heaven. And that is what John is calling us to do, to be the healing of the nations. And it's not just that John is calling one or two. John is calling, God is calling all of us. I hesitated to say that out loud today. I was like, who am I to speak about a vision for the church? And I was going to change it. I was going to soften it a little bit like you do sometimes. And then God, does God ever do this? God kind of whacks you on the head. You would wish that God would tap you gently. You would wish that God would say, hey, Barbara, I think you might want to do this. But no, God's like, hey, you heard me. Don't pretend that you didn't. And sometimes I would like to pretend that I don't hear God. But God is very persistent. Oh my goodness, God is very persistent. I believe God is calling us to step up. Turn to the person next to you, you on line two, and say, God is calling us to step up. Say it to the person on the other side now with vigor. Friends, God is inviting us to step into the flow of this river, to participate in the healing of the nations, not because we haven't been doing anything. I am amazed at this church. You heard Jack talk about the mission trips? That's just this summer. There is Family Bible Camp going on. There is Kid Nation going on. There is Facets that's feeding the hungry going on. There is all sorts of ministry happening. It's just that I think God wants more. I think we are in a time in our faith and in our world where God wants more because the nations need more. It's tempting to sit back and take a break, right? I'm kind of tired. But God's love doesn't stay still. It doesn't sit in pools or stay in one place. It moves, it heals, it cools us when we are hot, it quenches our thirst, it causes growth, it cleanses the earth, it fills tanks, it fills souls. Jesus said, let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. This is the water that we are to drink of. And yet we often try to live without stepping into that river. We get stuck in fear. We get stuck in shame. We get distracted. Sometimes we get stuck in comfort. It's like, oh, I feel good. I'm not moving right now. But God reminds us that the water flows. God is calling us, come to the water, step in, stand in the flow. Here's the good news. You don't do it alone. You do it with others. We are in what we call a connectional system in the United Methodist Church. That means that Florist United Methodist Church is connected to Centenary UMC, where I worshiped last Sunday in Bow, Sierra Leone. It's connected to Restoration UMC up the road. It's connected to churches in Texas that have lost everything. We are a connectional church, and we work together. That is one of the good things about being a United Methodist. And I want to tell you what I saw the last week and a half when I was in Africa. I saw the river flowing. I had the privilege of traveling to Sierra Leone to participate in the 25th anniversary of the Child Reintegration Center. Yes. And if you have an hour, I could show you all the pictures that I took. This is a partnership we've been a part of for decades. But I want to take you to three places where I went in Sierra Leone, where I saw the healing of the nations. Just last Sunday, a week ago, there's a time difference, but a week ago, I worshiped in the morning at Centenary UMC, then jumped in a car with Bishop Boy Coker. Some of you met, he's the Sierra Leonean bishop, and we traveled to some different places. And the first place we went was the Yanabani Agricultural Project. In the village of Yanabani, this is how we were greeted by this choir. I never get greeted like a choir when I walk in here. Can I tell you that? Like, it's okay. But it was amazing. And I said, what are they saying? Because they're speaking in Creole. And I said, tell me what they're saying. And the man next to me said, oh, they're singing to you. They're saying, today is a good day because God brought you to our village. Like, what about a welcome? Like, isn't that amazing? It was beautiful. This is the Bishop John K. Yambusu Agricultural Project, and it's flourishing in Yanabani. The United Methodist Church has nurtured this project. Take a look at the pictures of the farm. This is rice. They grow rice. They grow corn. This is the rice swamp. It was so lush. It's the rainy season. It was very lush and beautiful. They grow palm trees for coconuts and palm trees for palm nuts. Palm oil is a big thing. They do different types of gira dyeing there. It is a beautiful, beautiful country. And at this agricultural project, people are learning and working on taking care of themselves and becoming self-sufficient. Oh, I couldn't resist these little boys. They were following us around, and I was like, can I snap your picture? And they're like, oh, yes, you can. Look at this picture. You see the women back there? The gentleman in the front is the lead farmer of the project, and the women back there are the women that work the farm. They work the land together. They raise their children in community, and they sing as they go. These are women who have no husband. They have young children. It is far more than a project. It's a testament to what happens when people say yes to grace. I'm going to show you a video. I'm testing you at this service. It's a video that I filmed on the side of the road that is used for another purpose, but I thought you might like to see it and hear what I heard when I was there that day. So let's try it. It's a minute.
Hi, friends. I am standing here in Yanibana at the Bishop John Yambusu Agricultural Project, where I've just gotten to spend some time with about 15 to 20 women who are making their living working at this agricultural project. These are women that go out each day and they harvest rice. They work with palm nuts so they can create palm oil. There's a piggery here. All of these women are women that have come together under the United Methodist Church at this project so that they can be self-sufficient. These are women largely who have no husbands, and they have young children as well, and I want you to imagine what that might be like for you. I know I stood there and put myself in their place, and I was so grateful to the United Methodist Church. This is what we do as a connection. We come together. The project actually partners with the German United Methodist Church. It partners with the Sierra Leonean United Methodist Church and our own United Methodist Church. I want you to consider what it would be like and if you would want to be a part of that.
I'm doing that for another conference where they're getting people to help with that project. But I do want you to think about that. You all do this. You don't know it. You sit here on Sunday morning and you're in Yanabani, Africa, helping these women. This is what happens when people get in the flow of God's grace. The dream of the people at Yanabani is to grow the program, to care for more women and more children, to make it a place of safety and community. The second place I went was Fengahoon. Fengahoon, where it's about 30 miles from Mercy Hospital in Bow, where our team joined the staff of Mercy Hospital. They go on these medical outreach trips weekly. They used to go to, I'm going to get my numbers wrong. I think they used to go to about 15, and they've had to reduce it to about 8 because of a lack of supplies. But here's just four pictures, I think, that I took when I was there. These two women gave birth 5 hours before, and they're waiting to go home with their little babies. I think we have a picture of one of the babies. Oh, that's just a little girl who was beautiful. There's one of those beautiful little children. Do I have another? And there's the little girl. Is there one more after this? Oh, and they do. So what happens is women come from the surrounding village. This is an accessible place for these women. Women come, and if they are pregnant, they get all the well mother checks. Children get well baby checks. Their nutrition is checked. They are checked for tuberculosis. They're checked for malaria, and they're checked for AIDS. They get measured, all the things that women do when they are pregnant. And then when it's time to give birth, they either give birth there or they are taken to Mercy Hospital, where they could have a cesarean if they needed to. That's what they do. These women come from all around to do this. I want to show you one more picture of joy. Not just me. Sadly, I only had the one with me in it. This is some boys that I met. And they were so excited, they were so joyful, these children. And I looked at them and I thought, this is what happens when people stand in the flow of God's grace. They didn't speak my language, I didn't speak their language, but we could understand each other's joy, and their joy is fruit. It is fruit from a tree that was planted right here in Herndon, Virginia, 25 years ago. Children like this are what happens when there is a vision that seems impossible, but the Holy Spirit says, impossible, I was made to make the impossible possible. This is what happens when one man, in this case, Reverend Yambasu, comes to a church in Herndon, Virginia, and says, I have a dream. Here's a seed that I'm going to plant. What would it be like if we came together with other United Methodists and created a space where children who were affected by this brutal war in Sierra Leone, who are now living on the streets, what would it look like if we gathered them up? And they did. And you did. You did. They gathered them up. The Sierra Leoneans went back and they gathered those children together, and that children became an orphanage, and the orphanage became the reintegration center, and the reintegration center birthed Mercy Hospital. And all of this is happening because one seed was planted. It was dropped, and you all watered it, and you nurtured it, and you caused it to grow. And because you and other United Methodists are engaged in this work, children live. Those boys in that picture, they were born to the mothers of Fengahoon, and they had healthy pregnancies and deliveries because of Mercy Hospital, which is connected to you. But alongside the joy, there's urgency. I got to speak to Dr. Morivandi, who's the Mercy Hospital medical director, and when I was with him, he took me into a room and a couple of others, and he pulled a kit off the shelf, and it was the last kit of HIV test kits. The last one. And we took it to Fengahoon that day, and we used it. Let me give you some numbers. Due to cuts in U.S. funding, test kits and medications that have saved tens of millions of lives will soon be gone. Without them, the virus will spread again. Last year, the U.S. supplied more than 117,000 HIV test kits to Sierra Leone. 117,000. Can you say that number? 117,000. Close to 1 in 10 came back positive. In nearly every case that came back positive, that patient was placed on life-saving antiviral medication. But now, infected people will go untested, and doctors say most certainly it will spread. Let me be clear. The need for the healing of the nations is now. I got to hold children in my arms, healthy children, born in safety, living in safety. The need for healing is now. We have to be informed. The world cannot afford for us to sit in still water. I know it feels overwhelming. If it feels overwhelming to you, it feels overwhelming to me. It is a lot. And yet, God says, you are for the healing of the nations. Let me be clear, I am aware that it is not just in Sierra Leone. But our work in Sierra Leone shows us something that I want to be sure and share with you today. It shows us that there is hope for the world. And that takes me to the third location. As I stood in the Great Hall at the Child Reintegration Center celebrating 25 years of this ministry, I was surrounded by the fruit of 25 years of this. Over 4,000 children have come through that center. And they are living lives in part due to your generosity. They're living lives that are healthy and happy. Those original 40 children, I kept calling them children, they're adults. They are shopkeepers, they are nurses, they are doctors, they are teachers, they are mothers, they are fathers, they are leaders in their churches, leaders in their community. They care for one another. They had an alumni meeting while we were there. This is the fruit of what happens when you stand into this river of grace that God calls you to stand into. This is the healing of the nations. This is the hope that we have for the world. And I stood there and I looked around at all of these children, the young ones that are young now, the adults that are there, and I thought, there is one drop. We put one drop in the water 25 years ago. One drop. And the ripples are still spreading. There is hope for the world. But we have to respond. And if you are feeling discouraged, if the world feels heavy, if you are in need of healing, take heart. Because this one drop makes a difference. But the world needs the action now, and we must act. So put on your waders. Step into the flow. The river of grace runs through the streets of Sierra Leone, yes, but it also runs down your street. It flows to your Muslim neighbor, to your friends in the synagogue, to the unhoused folks on I-66, to the children, as She Believes in Me. It flows everywhere for the healing of the nations. So what am I asking you to do? First of all, I'm asking you to pray. Like really pray, not just, oh, thanks for that, but really pray. Sometimes I'm guilty of praying just routinely. Get on your knees, take a walk, whatever it does. However you pray, pray and ask God this question. What are you calling me to do now? Say that with me. What are you calling me to do now? Not in the future, not what I have done, but what are you calling me to do now? And then get ready because God will answer you. God always does. And there are going to be different answers. It might take you outside of your comfort zone. God might say, oh, I'd like you to go to Sierra Leone. And you're going to go, what? And you're going to come talk to me. Or you're going to talk to Barbara Ricksprout, and we're going to help you figure out how to do that. God might say to you, hey, I need you to teach Kid Nation downstairs because our children need to understand what it means to heal the nations. It might mean that you need to be a part of a small group. And Bill Gray is going to talk to you and say, I'm going to help you figure out how to learn. It might mean that God says, hey, you need to give more money to the church. I just said that out loud because, folks, it is money that helps us make a difference in the world. It is not everything. But you can trust your United Methodist Church to take good care of that so that it will go to children in Sierra Leone. So it will go to people down the street. So it will go to helping us learn and grow together. I don't know what God is going to call you to do. But I know that if you earnestly pray, God will call you, and we together can work for the healing of the nations. Friends, the river is flowing. It is crystal clear, and it is bright, and it nourishes you, and it helps you grow, and it gives you confidence, and it gives you courage when you are thinking, I'm not really sure I can do this. So I invite you to step into that river, to be the leaves for the nations, so that together we might be healed. Eddie and the band are going to come up, and we're going to sing a closing song together. As they come, I wonder if you would bow your heads with me. Gracious God, it is a big question. What are you calling me to do now? And I pray, God, that for all the people that are a part of this time of worship, that we could ask that question, and we could listen for your words to us, and we might hear and trust and obey. Amen.